All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf chas. We are picking up from the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis 7b, the Mishnah about 8 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Mark and Elsa Lustman in memory of Elsa's father, Morris Cantor, Moshe Leib Ben Chaim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. And by Alan and Sue Meyerowitz, in honor of the bris of their new grandson, that Bishah Tovu Mitzlachas is going to happen today after davening. I hope that Amir Tzashem, the young man, will be Zocha to enter into the bris of Avram Avinu Bizmano, will grow up to be an incredible Ben Torah, a source of nachas to his parents, to his mishpacha, to his community, but most of all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say a thank you to Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld, dedicating the Shiurim this month in memory of Yona's grandfather, Reb Gedalia Ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Hashem will have an aliyah. All right, so let's begin. Says the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says the following. Nishmat HaBarzel Mikata. So we'll say, again, remember our topic in this parak is Golos. And what circumstances lead to Golos? What type of situations ultimately lead a person or end a person up in the air Mikla? So Nishmat HaBarzel Mikata, Baharam. We'll say a person is chopping wood and the axe head flies off the handle. We'll say, I don't mean like flying off the handle in a metaphorical way. I mean like literally the axe head flies off the handle and goes ahead and kills someone. So what's the halacha of a harag? Rebbe Omer eino gola. So Rebbe says you don't go to Golos for this. The chachamim say gola. The chachamim say no, you do go to Golos for this. Mina eita misbakeh. So we'll say again, we'll define this in the Gemara. What happens if, let's say again, Reuven is chopping wood, and as he's chopping wood, a splinter flies off the tree and goes ahead and kills someone. So what's the halacha? So mina eita misbakeh. Rebbe Omer gola. Rebbe says you go to Golos. The chum say in a gola, that you don't go to Golos. Okay, so we'll say, let's analyze this. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar lehem Rebbe the Chachamim. So Rebbe says to the Chacham, V'chi ne'amar, v'nosha ha-barzel me'itzo. Does the Pasuk say, when speaking about the person who kills accidentally, that the axe head flies off the handle? V'alo lo ne'amar ela min ha'itz. They both say, the Pasuk ultimately, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, V'nashal ha-barzel min ha-eitz. Literally, again, it means, literally translated, it means that the iron will fly off the wood. Rebbe understands this, Rebosai, to mean that what's killing the individual over here is the splinter from the wood that is being chopped. It's not the axe head that's killing, but rather it's the splinter. Furthermore, Rebosai, it says earlier in the Pasuk Eitz, and it says later on in the Pasuk Eitz, just like when the Pasuk is speaking about earlier about someone who's going to chop wood in the forest, Av Eitzah Amr Lamata, so to the Eitz that is mentioned in conjunction with the death of a victim, Mina Eitzah Misbakeh. It's talking about the piece of wood that splinters off. So we'll say, so Rebbe understands Eitz over here. You see, essentially the Machlokis, as we're going to see between Rebbe and the Chachamim, is the pasuk V'nashal HaBarzel Mina Eitz. Ultimately, again, the iron will detach or will splinter off from the wood. So there are two ways of interpreting that. Either that could mean, again, that the axe head is flying off the handle and it's the axe head that's killing, or it's a piece of wood that splinters from the wood that's being chopped and that which kills. Rebbe understands eitz to be referring to the wood that is being chopped. It's a splinter which kills the victim. The Chacham understand that it's a reference ultimately, again, to the axe head that is flying off the handle and is killing the individual. So the Gemara says, "Amar Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav." Shnei Mikra Echadarshu. We'll say both of them are dashing the same pasuk. V'nashal Barzel Mina Eitz. So we'll say, listen to this. The pasuk is V'nashal Barzel Mina Eitz. Rebbe Savar Yesh Im LaMasores. So we'll say Rebbe holds that ultimately, again, we give primacy to the way the word is written. V'nishal Ksiv. And we'll say, so the way the word is written is v'nishal. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over Yeshu l'masores k'mashenim srak sav shalteva l'moshe anu tzrichin l'darsha. We'll say we darshan it based on how the word is written in the Torah. V'lo l'fi amikra, not the way it is read. Kisha atakore v'nashal atamosif havara shal aleph o shal hey beinun l'shin u l'fi amasores v'nishal k'sivu peirusho Nishal Shehishil HaBarzel Min Ha'etz. We'll say when you read it, V'nishal HaBarzel Min Ha'etz, which literally means, and the iron will detach something from the wood. And which we'll say refers to what? Refers to the splinter that comes off of the wood being chopped. That is what kills someone. For Rabbanan saying, Yesh Eim LaMikra. Ultimately, again, no, we assign primacy to the way the word is read. And it's read V'nashal. Rabbanan say, V'nashal Karina. V'nashal means it detaches from. So we'll say, if you read it, V'nishal HaBarzal Min Ha'etz, it means, and the iron will detach something from the tree. What does the iron detach from the tree? What does the iron detach from the tree? The splinter. It's the splinter that kills. If you read it, v'nashal, v'nashal barzal min ha'etz means, and the iron will detach from the wood. Iron detaching from the wood references or refers to the axe head detaching from the handle. So most of Rabbi Yesh Eim Lazarosir, does Rabbi hold that ultimately again we assign primacy to the way the word is written? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Noris, Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, Kulu Sviru, Sviri Luhu, Yesh Eim LaMikra. I will say, but one second, all of these opinions, including Rabbi, are on record as saying, Yesh Eim LaMikra, that ultimately, again, we assign primacy to the way the word is written. Hainu Dika Amr Luhu Va'od. That's Rabbi Osei, the Gemara ultimately adds in when introducing this whole discussion, says Va'od. In other words, Rabbi Osei, this drasha over here, this drasha is a supplemental one. But Rebbe's sheet is really learned out, as we said earlier on in the Gemara. Amar Papa, man deshada pisila digla. We'll say, so now that we're discussing these type of cases. So remember again, this is the fundamental machlokes, ultimately again, between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Is it the splinter that's killing, or is it the axe head that's killing? So we'll say, there are other ramifications of this halacha. For example, Amar Papa, Madisha the Pisa Adikla. So listen to this case. Someone who throws a clump of earth at a palm tree, the date palm. And what happens? Va'asa tamri, va'azol tamri, va'katol. So we'll say, what happens? Reuven throws a cluster of earth at the date palm. And he throws, let's say, a cluster of dates. He hits the cluster of dates. Cluster of dates falls down and kills Reuven. Or I should say, it's Reuben throwing it. Kill Shimon. All right? So we'll say, what's the halacha? So, banu lemachlokes de Rebbe v'rabbanon. Ultimately, again, we have come to the machlokes of Rebbe and the Rabbanon. So we'll say, the idea over here is, according to Rebbe, one would be chayef for this. So we'll say, right? Because this is similar to chopping wood. And according to Rebbe, when the splinter comes out and kills someone, then what? You're chayef. You're chayef for that. According to the Chachamim, you're not chayef for that. Why? We'll say, we haven't said this, but according to the Chachamim, that would be what's called secondary force. That would be an indirect force that's ultimately killing the victim. It's not when the axe head falls off, that's my direct force. If the axe head hits the wood and a splinter flies off, that's secondary according to the Chacham. According to Rebbe, that's still primary. According to the Chacham, it's secondary. Similarly, Reuven throws a clump of earth at the palm tree, right? It hits the cluster of dates. The dates fall down and kill Shimon. According to Rebbe, you're chayiv. According to the Chachamim, your potter, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. What would I have thought? I would have thought that even according to Rebbe, this is what says considered to be like secondary force. Kamashmalon, say that according to Rebbe, this is still called direct force. According to Rebbe, so how do you ever find, what's the case of secondary force? We'll say, listen to this. Kigon, Dishada Pisa, we'll say, this would be the case according to Rebbe of secondary force. Dishada Pisa, Umachya Ligarma, Va'azal Garma, Umachya Likabasa, Va'asa Tamri, Va'ezal Tamri, because it was like Chagadya. So what happens? So Reuven goes ahead, throws the clump of dirt. The clump of dirt hits the twig, which then hits the dates, which then dislodges the dates that falls upon Shimon and kills Shimon. We'll say that according to Rebbe would be a case of secondary force. So we'll say, so how do we paskin in this machlokus between Rebbe and the Chacham? So listen to this. So the Rambam paskins, the Rambam says the following. This is in Hilchos Rotseach, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes Vav. Nishmat habarzel mikato. If Reuven is chopping wood in the forest and the axe head flies off the axe handle and kills someone, so harei zegola. The people say this individual goes to galus. Reuven goes to galus. In other words, this is called an act of accidental killing. However, nishmat habarzel mina eitza mispakeya eino gola. But if Reuven's chopping wood and what happens? A splinter comes off the wood. and kills Shimon, then what? He doesn't go to Galus. Right? We all say, so what do we see? We are passing like the Chachamim and not like Rebbe. That ultimately the case of killing Bishogi Gabo says where the axe head flies off and kills someone. If Reuven's chopping wood, and as a result the splinter comes off and kills Shimon, Gabo says you don't go to Galus for that. Why? Here we go. Mipnei she'ein zem mikocho. Because Gabo says that is not considered to be the primary force of Reuven. Ela mikoach kocho. Gabo says that's secondary force. V'nimtza kima ones. Rabbi will say, that's like extenuating circumstances beyond my control, and therefore I don't go to Galus. So also remember, as you saw yesterday, you only go to Galus when, as we're going, and we're going to see this again today, when, if had I exercised proper precaution, I could have avoided this mishap. When, again, I took all the proper precautions, but something beyond my control occurred, I don't go to Galus for that, Rabbi will say. Furthermore, again, when it's secondary force, I also don't go to Galus. V'chein, he quotes this case, V'chein azorek even l'tamar, l'hapil tamar, v'naf lumin ha-tamar mal-tinok, v'har-gohu pater, v'mnei shehein bo'en mikoach kocho. Both say, similarly, same case, if I take a cloud of earth, and I throw that earth at the palm tree, and it dislodges the dates, and the dates fall on someone and kill them, I am also pater. So what we see over here is that in order to be chayiv galus, of course it has to be an accident, but there has to be some level of what we'll call direct causation. I'm chopping wood, I go ahead and I bring my axe down, and as I'm bringing my axe down, because remember it has to be derech yirida, the axe that flies off and kills someone, chas v'shalom, then I'm chayiv galus. If I'm chopping the wood, and a splinter from the wood comes and kills someone, I'm not chayiv. I throw a clump of earth at the palm tree, dislodges dates and falls on someone, not chayiv for that. Good. Says the Mishnah. Hazorik evan Shramos. Also, we're going to come to a variety of different kinds of cases. Person throws a rock into Rosh Rabbi in the Harag and kills someone. We're going to define the scope of this case. Harei Zagola. We will say such a person ultimately again goes to Galus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Evan miyado, listen to this. However, so if I went ahead, so halacha number one is if I go ahead and I throw a stone in Rosh Hashanah and kill someone, I go to Galus. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, if ultimately again when I threw the stone, no one was in Rosh Hashanah, and what happens after the stone left my hand, hotzi halas roshav v'kibla. Someone stuck their head out of the window and got knocked in the head and died, unfortunately. Hareze pater. Rabbi say, I am pater. Why am I pater? Bepashtus, because at the time that I threw the stone, it did not pose a danger to anyone. The fact that Reuven stuck his head out, we're going to define it. So the fact that Reuven stuck his head out afterwards, the liability seems to rest on Reuven's shoulders. So next, so the Gemara says, Hareze pater. Zarkas evan lachatzer of a harag. So listen to this. Let's say I'm throwing stones in my chatzar. Well, this is actually a very interesting case. I'm throwing stones in my chatzar. I'm doing target practice in my chatzar. And then what happens? Reuven's there and Reuven gets killed. If ultimately again Reuven has permission to be on my property, gola. Then Reuven says, I am chayiv for the accidental death of Reuven. Ve'im lav, but if essentially Reuven was trespassing, in a gola. Ultimately again, I don't go to Galus for the death of Reuven. Shene Emar, Vasher Yavo Esrei Ehu Bayar. Ultimately, again, the way the Pasuk frames it is, a person will come with his friend into the forest. Mahayar Rishus L'Nizak U'Lamazik L'Konisham. But I'll say, just as a Yar, a forest, both parties have a right, have permission to be there. Afko Rishus L'Nizak U'Lamazik L'Konisham. So to Rabbi say, the only time that I'm chayiv for Galus is ultimately, again, in a situation where both the damager or the killer and the victim both have the right to be there. Yatzah Chatzar Balavai, She'in Rishus L'Nizak L'Konisham. Rabbi say, however, again, if I'm on my property and Reuven doesn't have a right to be on my property, and Nebach, I do something that results in the death of Reuven, then Lamais again, I have no liability. Why? Because Reuven had no right, no license to be there. Abu Shalomer, Machatavas Eitzim Rishus, Afkol Rishus. We'll say similarly again, the paradigmatic example of killing someone Bishogi, the Torah brings down is chopping wood. Just like chopping wood is a Rishus, right? Is an optional, non-mitzvah activity. Afkol Rishus. We'll say so too again, I'm only Chayiv Galus if I kill someone while performing an optional act. It is a discretional act. However, yotza ha'av makes bino, we'll say, but if a father is disciplining his child, again, we're going to discuss this, father is hitting his child for discipline, or harav harodes talmido, or a rebbe is hitting his talmid for discipline, or shliach beizdin, or Rabbi will say again, shliach beizdin pashtos is going ahead and administering lashes. The Rabbi will say all of these cases are mitzvos, right? Father disciplining his son, Rebbe disciplining the child, shliach beizdin administering malchus, and the person dies in the process, right? Meaning the person dies as a result of being quote unquote disciplined. All of these individuals are potter. Right, because again, remember, a person is only chayiv galus if they accidentally kill someone in the performance of a discretionary act. But if it's a mitzvah act, ultimately, again, they are potter. So we'll say, there's just a rabbin, mezidos. So let's, now the Gemara is going to begin by analyzing this. So remember again, the Mishnah began by saying that if a person throws a stone into Rishus HaRabim, so the Mishnah says that ultimately, again, he goes to Golos. So the Gemara says, why? Person throws a stone into Rishus HaRabim, Mezidu, Rabosai. Rishus HaRabim, there are people there. So if you throw a stone into Rishus HaRabim, Rabosai, the statistical probability, you're going to hit someone. So the Mishnah, that's called a Mezid. Now again, remember, it can't be a real Mezid in the classic sense, because remember, we saw from our Sanhedrin days that a real Mezid, right, an absolute Mezid is what? Meaning, you have intentionality for the act and intentionality for the victim. Right? So again, it's not necessarily a classic, but the idea is, don't call it shogeg. You know, you go ahead and you throw a stone into the middle of a Rishus HaRabim and you end up killing someone. Don't act surprised. You threw a stone into a densely populated area, bepashtos, that's what's going to occur. To which the Gemara says, I'm going to have Shmuel bar Yitzhak besosres koslo. Both say, what's the case? The case is where I have property that is right up next to Rishus HaRabim, and I am dismantling the stone wall of my property. And while dismantling the stone wall of my property, so a stone goes ahead and flies off and kills someone. Samar says, okay, you should have been careful. You should have been careful. To which the Gemara says, no. Now I'm demolishing my wall at night. At night? So again, we'll say, why am I doing it at night? Because I'm assuming people aren't around at night. What are you talking about? It's not true. At night, you also have to be careful. We'll say, the idea is whenever you're doing something either in or next to Rishus HaRabim, one must be vigilant. Because one must always assume that there are always people in Rishus HaRabim. To which the Gemara answers, Besosas, Kostot, first wide line, La'ashpa. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where he's dismantling his wall into a garbage dump. Garbage dump. So what's the case? Hi Ashba Hechidami. We'll say, what's the case? If there are a lot of people in the garbage dump, I will say, now, why would there be a lot of people in garbage dumps? So we'll say, essentially, so in historical times, so garbage dumps also doubled as public restrooms, right? So the idea over here is meaning where would the person in the sub, where would the public go? So garbage dumps. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, the Gemara is asking, okay, now you have this garbage dump. So if it's used by the public, again, not necessarily for their garbage, but for relieving themselves, so a person has to know that there are going to be people there. Then again, if he's dismantling his wall and the stone kills someone, he's posheo. He's negligent. If again, I'll say this is the type of garbage dump that people mamash just use for garbage. They don't normally relieve themselves, so he doesn't have to be choshesh that there's pedestrian traffic there. Then he's an ones. Then ultimately, again, it's extenuating circumstances. We'll say, listen to this. What's the case? So the nature of this particular garbage dump is that people used it to relieve themselves at night, but didn't really use it by day. V'ika demikri v'yosef. But sometimes, occasionally, people would use it by day. Infrequently, people would use it by day. So what happens? Reuven's dismantling his wall right next to this garbage dump during the day. Why is he doing it during the day? Say, why? Because so many people aren't usually there. But Nebuch, today somebody was there, and he's dismantling it. One of the stones kills someone. So posher lo havi, Rabbi say, you can't call him negligent. Because we'll say people don't normally use it so much by day. Only snami lo, dahai ika demikri v'yasi. But you also can't call him an ones. Why? Because Rabbi say, he knows people sometimes do use it by day. So because it's not regularly used, he's not called a posher. Because it's sometimes used, he's not called an ones. So what are you called if you're not a posher and you're not an ones? What are you called? you call the shogeg, and that's why ultimately, again, he'll go ahead and he will go to Gaul. So we'll say, so that's the Gemara's case of Hazorek Evan the Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, again, remember, even though when you read it, you think it's talking about a case of a guy who's just throwing a stone to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chas Hashem. We'll say, that guy's a poshaya. He's negligent. This is the specific case of the person dismantling his stone wall into a garbage dump during the day that's more often than not, yet not used by day, but today someone happened to be using it by day, stone killed someone, he's not called a poshaya, he's not called an ones, he's called the shug, he therefore goes to Gullah. So Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Omer, Tan Rabbanan. But say, listen to this. So Tan Rabbanan, Umatza Prat Lamamtsias Atzmo. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, Umatza, so this is Umatza Sre'ehu Vames. We'll say, this is the paradigmatic case of the person who goes into the forest to chop wood. And what happens, as we saw again, V'nashal Abarzlam and Ha'eitz, that was the last Gemara, Umatza Sre'ehu. And the axe head finds his friend. So Reuven's chopping wood, and then Reuven's axe head flies off the handle and finds Shimon. So says the Gemara, Umatza Prat Lamamtsias Atzmo. We'll say, this comes to exclude someone who makes himself found. I will say, which means what? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Prat lamamtsias atzmo. Acharei kein hotzi alas rosho min hacholam v'kiva la'evin v'metzcho. I will say, what this comes to this word is the following. If halach lamaisa, again, Reuven was doing something, and at the beginning of his action, Shimon was not present. Then after the action was initiated, Shimon presented himself, so to speak. He inserted himself into this picture, and then Nebach, Shimon is killed. Reuven is not chayav for that. Why? Because I will say, at the time of the performance of the action, Shimon was not present. Therefore, if Shimon subsequently inserts himself into this picture, and as a result dies through the actions of Reuven that were initiated before Shimon's entry onto the scene, Reuven will not be chayiv. So the Gemara says, Mikan Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Im Mishiyatasa Evan Miado Holtzialas Rosho Vikibla Pater. So also listen to this. That's why according to Elazar ben Yaakov, if Reuven throws a stone, let's say right now it's in the forest, not in the shul. Reuven throws a stone, and when he's throwing stones, Shimon is not present. He looks around, he doesn't see anyone. And then what happens after he releases the stone? Shimon walks in, or Shimon sticks his head out of his window, and then the stone kills Shimon. Reuven will be pater. Lememra de matzameh kar mashma. Are you telling me then that the word matzah means something which was present from beforehand? Beyet or mini areza kasha umatza prat lamatzoi. Well, if you take a look at Rashi, this matzah over here is ve'im ish kilo yela goel v'siga yada umatza kedei geula so. We'll say, this is talking about if you sell ancestral land, you sell a stei achuza, ultimately, again, you have the right to go ahead and redeem that property. Look at Rashi. Umatza prat lamatzui, b'mocher stei achuza so, uba legalo, k'se v'siga yado, umatza prat lamatzui, im haise geula zu mitzuya biyado, kishe machra, in confidence, I'll keep like zero the leap. So we'll say, listen to this. If I sell ancestral land to Reuven, and then I want to redeem that land, the Torah forces Reuven to sell it back to me. Again, he's entitled to recapture what he spent, but he's obligated to sell me back ancestral land. All of this is done in an effort to maintain tribal continuity within Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, what happens if at the time I sold the land, I had money, I didn't need to sell the land, I had money already. So we'll say, the assumption is people only sell ancestral land when they're desperate for cash. What happens if I had the cash? So if I had cash on hand, but I sold the land anyway, then the seller is not obligated to sell it back to me. So the Gemara says, Umatza prat lematzui. So once I say matzah means, now I find money to buy back the land. This excludes someone who had money already. Shelo yimka barachok v'yigol bakarov, b'ra'a v'yigol bayofem. So we'll say this comes to exclude someone ultimately, again, who's just selling land for his own convenience. The only time a person should sell ancestral land is when he's desperate for cash. Then as soon as he has cash, the Torah gives him the right to buy back from the purchaser. But if he had cash on hand and he's just selling land because it's convenient for him, then we don't force the purchaser to sell it back. So we'll say, so again, you see that the word matzah means something different. We'll say, so the Rava answers, Matzah is interpreted in accordance with the context of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Hasam me'inyan adikra u'matzah dumi devehisiga." We'll say, thereby stay achuz. By ancestral land. So matzah is compared to v'hisiga yado. My siga yado mehashta. We'll say just like again, v'hisiga yado means from now. If he comes into cash now, af matza na'ay mehashta. So to Rabbi, we'll say matza is interpreted as present as well. Hakam in yana dekra, but by killing someone b'shogeg, it's also interpreted in accordance with the pasuk. Umatza dumya deyar. Matza is comparable to the forest. My yaar midi di isay meikara, just like the forest was something that was there originally. Af umatza na'ay midi di isay meikara. So let's we'll say the word umatza also means something that was there originally. So we'll say the idea over here is very important. The only time a person is chayef for killing b'shogeg is when the victim was present at the time the action was initiated. If the victim came on the scene afterwards, then the person is not chayev galus abosai. That is called an onus and extenuating circumstance case. So if Reuven is in the forest and he's throwing rocks and he looks around, he does his due diligence, he looks around, there is no one around. And abosai, whether or not throwing rocks is a good idea is a different discussion. But let's assume right now he's throwing rocks. And when he releases the rock, Shimon was not in sight. And then what happens? After he releases the rock, Shimon walks into the path, the trajectory of the rock. Reuven will not be chayif, that we'll say. Why? Because since Shimon was not present at the beginning of the process, therefore again, this is not called killing b'shogeg, but rather it's an ones case. So we'll say the Gemara goes right there. Hazorik esahaven, amliyam mirabar al-rava, mimay demachatavas etzim dirushos, dilma mechatavas etzim disurkos. So remember again, the Mishnah went ahead and said, the next qualification was that you're only chayiv if you kill someone while engaged in a discretionary act. However, if you kill someone while engaged in a mitzvah, you are pater from galus. And where does the Gemara get that from? The Mishnah understands that from the fact that the Torah uses chopping wood as the example for killing someone b'shogeg. Just like chopping wood is a rishus, right? So is a discretionary act. So to again, you're only chayiv galus if engaged in a discretionary act. To which the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe mimai the mechatavas etim de rishus, dilma mechatavas etim de sukkah, or mechatavas etim de ma'aracha. Maybe we're talking about a guy who's chopping down wood for a sukkah, or we're talking about a guy who's chopping down wood for wood on the mizbeach, which Rabbi say are mitzvah acts, and maybe even despite that, the Torah says that what? If you kill someone even while engaged in a mitzvah, you still go to galus. Something very interesting. You know, even if he was chopping wood for the sukkah, or even if he was chopping wood for the mizbeach, the boss said, there is no mitzvah to chop wood for the sukkah, there is no mitzvah to chop wood for the mizbeach. What's the proof to that? If you happen to find chopped wood, you can use that for your sukkah. If you happen to find chopped wood, you can use that for the mizbeach. Since ultimately, again, there's no mitzvah to chop wood, even if you were doing it for these particular mitzvah purposes, the act of chopping the wood is not called a mitzvah, and therefore one would go to gavus if one kills someone as a result. Esei Rava L'Ravina, but using that logic, the Gemara, so we have a kasha, Yotza Ava Makes Bino, Varaf Arodes Tamido, Ushleach Bezdin. So we'll say yet again, what about the case of the Mishnah? We'll say when the Mishnah illustrates cases of mitzvah performance which results in accidental death, so the Gemara gives three examples. Number one, a father who strikes child. We'll say obviously also the Mishnah is echoing different. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Welcome back. Even if Lemaisa again, so I just want to also point out, if we have time, these discussions also about physical discipline, which were clearly a staple in Mishnaic and Talmudic discipline. It's interesting, obviously the world is different, times are different, discipline is different, everything is different. Our dar, bless you, our dar needs different things, and our dar needs a lot more love. And a lot less, still discipline, but a different kind of discipline. Anyway, but we'll go with the Gemara. The Mishnah was speaking about accidentally killing someone. The Mishnah uses the examples of a father who disciplines a child, a Rebbe who disciplines a Talmud, and a Shliach Bezdin who is a minister who is administering a court-ordered punishment. a court order punishment to the victim. So the Gemara says, Lema, Kevan Dilu Gamer Lav Mitzvah, Hashtanami Lav Mitzvah. So why don't they say the same thing? They'll say, so maybe I could say, listen, since if the child would behave, if the student would listen, if the person wouldn't violate an Aveira, they wouldn't need this discipline. So maybe now also this hitting also should not be a mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, listen to this, it's actually quite wild. Hasam afa gav the gamer mitzvah. Even if my kid is well behaved, so giving them a patch is still a good idea. Like I said, it's not halakha l'maisa. It's just, what the Gemara is trying, which is exceptionally important, we'll say, is the notion of discipline. I will tell you that, you know, one of the things, unfortunately, that there is a breakdown within greater society is the notion of disciplining a child. I will say, you know, it's an amazing thing to see that we live in a time where children have a vote. Right, children have a vote, right? Like suddenly again, we ask the opinions of an 8-year-old, of a 9-year-old, of a 4-year-old, of a 13-year-old. Children have a say where they go to school. Children have a say whether they go to school. Children have a say with this. I was saying that children have a vote, right? Children do not know what the heck they're talking about, right? They're ill-informed, they're underdeveloped, their brains, mamish, are often influenced by a whole variety of different things, and more often than not, it's the parent's responsibility to make decisions for the child while fooling, deluding the child to think that they're actually a partner in the decision. But Lamaisa, again, we'll say this, there's a lot to speak about with this, because look what Chazal say. So again, it was like, we're going to apply this, just taking out the hitting piece. So the Gemara says, even if the child ultimately, again, is disciplined, there's still a mitzvah to hit them. Afagav dugamer mitzvah dichsev yisra banecha v'anichecha v'yitei ma'adrenu nashecha. I will say it's actually an incredible, incredible pasuk. Yisra bincha, excuse me, v'anichecha v'yitei ma'adrenu nashecha. Someone else says in Mishlei. Literally, yisra means punish your child and discipline him and he will give delights to your soul. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying is a highly disciplined child ultimately, again, will give nachas. Also, it doesn't mean be a dictator with your kids. That's not what it means. Maybe a benevolent dictator. But it doesn't mean a dictator. But we'll say, again, it's a very important discern. And we'll say, you see this, I've said this mashal many times. I was once in a store, and mamish, this kid was having, little kid, having a tantrum, a meltdown. And the parent gets down on one knee, and the parent says, use your words. Tell me what's wrong. I'm like, slap that kid upside the head and get them out of the store. What do you mean? Ridiculous. You have this meltdown in the store. You act like a little brat. That's, I don't mean, I'm literally slapping them upside the head. But I mean, like I was like, you know, if you don't discipline your child when they're young and they act in ways that are inappropriate and they don't exhibit proper respect to you and they don't exhibit proper respect to other adults and they don't know how to behave and they don't understand that they're not always going to get their way and there are rules and if you break rules, there are repercussions and whether you like the rules or you don't like the rules, these are the rules. It was like we do a disservice for our kids because children who don't know how to live with rules and children who do not know how to live within a behavioral framework established by a higher authority becomes adults who have difficulty with rules, become adults who have difficulty with authority, become adults who don't know how to live within normative frameworks as well. So both say, it's okay, I want to tell you something. Everybody in our door, this is totally not part of our shiur, but everybody in our door, everybody's afraid to discipline their kids because if I discipline my kids, they're going to go off the derech. They're going to go off the derech. Saying, your children will not go off the derech if you discipline them. If you're nasty, if you're mean, if you're heartless, then your children will go off the derech, absolutely. But if you discipline with love, if you have a stern household but with incredible love, and if you try to explain to your children, even though you don't understand this, I'm the parent, I know better, and this is what has to be done, I will say not only will they not go off the derech, but ultimately, again, you'll bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you allow them to be better and more productive children. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is, Yisra b'incha v'yanichach v'yitim adam l'nashecha. Don't be afraid to discipline. Don't be afraid to parent. Don't be afraid to say, I know more than you do, and therefore, you don't like it, I understand it, but this is what you're going to have to do. Let's collaborate to make it the best in the framework in which you have to exist. Even if the child is disciplined, Shlomo HaMelech says, The greater the amount of discipline one could go ahead and create for a child, the more successful the child will be. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hadu Amar Rav Lav Nosi Da Amri Va'asher Yavos Re'eu Bayar Ma Yar Di'i Boy Ayo Vi'i Boy Lo Ayo. So we'll say, so just like again, so Rava comes along and says afterwards, that I will say, there's another ayah. What's the other ayah? Paz Va'asher Yavos Re'eu Bayar. That when you come and you go ahead and you meet your friend in the forest. My yar, just like a forest, Rabbi said, di boy oil, vi boy lo oil. If you want to come in, you could come in. If you don't want to come, you don't have to come in. So to Rabbi said, we're talking about a rishus. So to anything ultimately that results in the death b'shogeg is a rishus. V'isag da'itcha mitzvah, misagid lo oil. And I will say, if you're thinking about a mitzvah, they were talking about coming into a mitzvah, or if you're talking about a mitzvah act, so how could it be enough that a person wouldn't come into the forest? So must be talking about a discretionary act. Amrli Rav Adabar Avala Rabba, kolecha d'chsiv asher, di boyhu. So we'll say, is that true? Wherever the pasuk says asher, that the word asher, ultimately again means a discretionary act. So we'll see, yet the pasuk says, if a person will become tameh and will not become pure, the Torah is talking about over here, if a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, there's a prohibition of kares. So is that saying that a person has the discretion to become tar or not? So the Gemara says, is this talking about a situation where a person has the right to decide to become tamei, not to become tamei? I meis mitzvah delo sagi delo mitma hachi nami depater. But what about a case of a meis mitzvah where there's an obligation to become tamei? Is then a person will not be chayy for ultimately coming into beis mitzvah in a state of tuma? Shiny hus and damar krav. We'll say it's different over there because the pasuk says tamei yihiyah mikom makom. Because we'll say the pasuk says tamei yihiyah. But say tamei yihiyah ultimately means he will be tamei mikom makom in every situation. Hahumi, switch the Gemara, 1 second. Humi boyle lichidisanyo. But we need that pasuk of also to teach me something else. Tamei yihiyah, the rabbos tevul yom. I will say tamei yihiyah ultimately, again, comes to include the case of Tavul Yom. I will say Tavul Yom is someone who went to the mikvah, but has missing hair of Shemesh. I will say, remember again, to ultimately, again, become tar, it's not enough just to go to the mikvah, but rather a person ultimately, again, has to wait till sunset. So the Gemara says, Tuma Sobo, L'rabos Mechusri Kippurim. His Tuma is in there. I will say, what does this come to include? This comes to include someone who has not brought the requisite karbanos. Amarle ana me'ot tumaso ka'amina. Ultimately, again, I'm learning it out from the phrase ot tumasobo. Igidamasni laha. So others have this discussion in a different way. Listen to this. Becharish shabakatzer tishbos. So the pasuk literally says becharish means plowing, katzer means reaping. You shall tishbos. You shall rest. Rabbi said, what does this mean? What is this referring to? Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einu Tzarech Lomer Chari Shal Shriyas, Akash Shal Shriyas, Shrei Kvar Ne'emar, Asad Chalotis, Vakam Chalotis Mor. So Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi said, I don't need this pasuk to teach me about the prohibited activities of Shemitah. Why? Because the pasuk already teaches me about the prohibited activities of Shemitah. The pasuk says, you shall not plow your field, nor shall you prune your vineyard. Ela afilu chari shal erev shvias shenichnas l'shvias. Rather, what is the pasuk coming to teach Rabbi Osai? Even again, plowing of the field before Shemitah. Rabbi Osai, I'm not allowed to plow my field before Shemitah in a way that enhances the field for Shemitah. Or shal erev shvias shenichnas l'shvias. V'katzer shal shvias shiatz lamotze shvias. Rabbi Osai, similarly again, I can't go ahead and work the land. Rabbi Osai, actually, what this really means is any plant life. That grew more than one third of its growth on the Shemitah year has the din of Kiddushas Shavias, even though what? It attains full maturity in the post-Shemitah year. Rabbi Shmuel says, Machorish Rishos, Avkatsi Rishos, Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Osai, Limar is bringing up this discussion, Rabbi Osai, because it's a parallel discussion to our discussion about Yar. Just like by killing Bishogig, the Gemara understands that the Torah uses the example of people walking into a forest to use as an example of discretionary activity. So too, again, the Gemara is having a parallel discussion over here with this pasuk, ultimately using this pasuk to discuss discretionary activity as well. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Macharish Rishos, just like plowing, Rabbi Osai, is a discretionary activity. Afkatsi Rishos, so to reaping is also a discretionary activity. You also say, so Rabbi Shmuel's understanding that this pasuk is referring to Shabbos, that on Shabbos, Bacharish Ubakatsir Tishbos, that on Shabbos you can't plow your field, obviously, and you can't go ahead and cut down the wheat either. What type of plowing, what type of harvesting are we talking about? Discretionary plowing, discretionary harvesting. So the Gemara says, Yotza Ketzira Omer Shu Mitzvah. Rabbi Osai, what would this come to exclude? This would ultimately come to exclude, ultimately again, Ketzira Sa Omer, a reaping of the Omer. which Rabosai is, which is a mitzvah. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Macharish, it's almost right across in Rashi. Ubishabis koyu, lohachi nakit charish katsi, lomer lecha, maha charish, shiny osir lecha, bishabis charish, shal rishusu, shein lonu charish, shal mitzvah, af katsir eni osir lecha, eloch shal rishus, yotze katsir omer. Rabosai, so again, what are we excluding when it comes to Shabbos, or what are we prohibiting when it comes to Shabbos? Charish of a katsir. Rabosai, just like the act of plowing is a discretionary one, there's no mitzvah act of plowing, so to the act of harvesting is also a discretionary one. But if you need to harvest the Omer on Shabbos, the carbon Omer on Shabbos, then one would be permitted to do so. How do you know we're talking about a planting of Rishos? Maybe we're talking about the planting of the barley that will be used for the Omer, and it's a mitzvah. And nevertheless, the Torah said that you should abstain, even though it's a mitzvah. That doesn't make sense. We'll say, there is no mitzvah to plant the Omer. The mitzvah is what? We'll say, is to what? Is to harvest the Omer. Vaharaya, if you were to find barley that was already planted, you need not plant additional barley for the sake of Karban Omer. So we'll say, Ravina raised the kasha to Rabbi, Yatza Avamakis, Rabbi, Rodos Tamido, Ushliach Bezin. We'll say, so the Mishnah said, remember again, the Mishnah excluded the case of a father who's hitting his son, the Rebbe who is disciplining his Talmud, and the Shliach Bezin who is ministering a punishment. If any of these individuals accidentally kill someone, then what? Rabbi said, they are pater. Why? Because the assumption is that they are engaged in the performance of a mitzvah. Amai, Leima Kevan di Lugamir Lav Mitzvah, Hashinami Lav Mitzvah. Rabbi says, we're saying the same thing before that we said, which is, Rabbi says, the same discussion. Say that if these individuals were quote unquote disciplined already, there would be no mitzvah to go ahead and what? There would be no mitzvah to discipline them. Therefore, again, perhaps this act of discipline is not a mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, "Hasam afagav the gomer nami mitzvah kavet." There was saying in the realm of discipline, as we said before, even if the child, the student, is already disciplined, there's still a mitzvah to discipline them. Dechziv yisra ben chavi anichacha v'itim adam lenashacha. Hada amarava lav milsihi da amri katsira dumi decharisha. So Rava said that which I said before, ignore. When we speak about katsira dumi decharisha, macharisha matzah charish eino chorish. Right. So I'll say just like again, if I found, meaning by carbon omer, if I found it plowed already, I need not plow. Af katsira nami matzah katsira eino kotzer. So I'll say again, I will say if I went ahead and I found barley that was already cut down, could I not use that already for the carbon omer as well? V'sagadait chamitzvah. Matzah katsar ina kotzah, mitzvah liktor lahavin. I will say it can't be because lamaisa again, if you say we're talking about a case of a mitzvah that is not true by the Kamar, I will say there is a mitzvah not only to bring barley, but there's a mitzvah to what? To dafka, harvest the barley that is going to be used for the sake of the mitzvah. So I will say, so bottom line, what comes out of this Mishnah? So first of all, again, I will say, so we saw the cases of Rishus Rabim, we established those already. I will say what we come out from here is something very important, which is, if you kill someone in the process of performing a mitzvah, halacha l'maaseh again, you are pater from galus. I will say, now that being said, I want to be clear. There is a major caveat to this. What's the major caveat? If in the course of performing a mitzvah, Beis Din could demonstrate negligence, Rebbe is disciplining a Talmud in a negligent way. Father is disciplining his child. Again, in those days when this type of discipline was appropriate, again, so negligence could be shown. Shliach Beis Din goes ahead and is giving Malkus, and he gives one more Makkah than he was supposed to. We'll say, then those are cases of negligence. In cases of negligence, then there absolutely will be a punishment for that. We're talking about a case of discipline that's happening in, quote-unquote, a normative framework. If it happens in a normative framework, then halacha l'maaseh, again, if a person was engaged in the performance of a mitzvah, they are pater from golus. Fine, says the Mishnah, av gola yedei abein, v'abein gola yedei av. I will say a father is exiled because of his son, which I will say Bepashtos means if a father kills his son accidentally, a father goes to Galus, and if the son kills his father accidentally, goes to Galus as well. Hakol golden al yidei Yisrael, everyone goes to Galus if they kill a Jew. V'Yisrael golden al yidei hen, and a Jew goes to Galus if he kills them. We'll discuss who the them is. Chutz miger toshav. I will say, but if a Jew kills a Ger Toshav, I will say, Ger Toshav is a Gentile, a non-Jew, who has accepted upon himself Shem Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So if a Jew kills me, he doesn't go to Galus. The Ger Toshav ain't a go to Alide Ger Toshav. I will say, and Misha sounds like it's saying, a Ger Toshav only goes to Galus if what? If he kills another Ger Toshav. Ha'av go to Alide Abain. So I will say, a father goes to Galus if he kills his son. But now, we'll say, we assume that what's the case ultimately where a father is killing his son? What's the case? But Pasha is when he's disciplining him. But 1 second, we just said before that if a father is disciplining his son and Chasson accidentally kills him, that the father is pater, to which the Gemara says, the gomer. The case is where the kid is already disciplined. He's already disciplined. The father didn't need to discipline him more. When the father disciplined him more, ultimately the son was killed. That's where the father goes to galus. But 1 second, you said already before, I will say, that's what? That even if the son was disciplined, there's still a mitzvah to what? To discipline him more, to which the Gemara says, oh, b'shulei dinagra. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where the father is training his son to be a carpenter. The father is a carpenter. His son is apprenticing with him. His son's not doing a good job. So what does the father do? He gives him a patch, and as a result, again, he kills him. So we'll say the assumption is that he disciplines him, but in the context of teaching him a parnosa. And I will say, therefore, again, that's not called the mitzvah performance, and that's why the father is chayiv. We'll say, 1 second. Chiyusi. Teaching about parnasa, dilamde. So we'll say, the case, we'll say, a father, remember we saw this in Kiddushin, a father has an obligation to teach his son a parnasa. So we'll say, amazing of teaching my son a parnasa is also part of his chinuch, and therefore if he's slacking in the apprenticeship, and I give him a patch, and chas hashalom, the kid dies accidentally from the patch, that's also called disciplining a child in a mitzvah context. To which the Gemara answers, the gamar umenase achrisi. He already has a trade. In other words, the father already taught him a trade that ultimately could support him. Father's teaching him an additional trade, which is there to go ahead. So he said, because he already knows a trade, therefore when the father's teaching him the second trade, that's not called a mitzvah. When the father disciplines him in the course of this, of teaching him the second trade, that's not called mitzvah performance, and if the father chastom accidentally kills the son, the father goes to Gavas as a result. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Maybe we'll pick up over here tomorrow. Shkoyach. Thank you.